Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Good Friday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. You have almost made it to the weekend. Looking forward to a couple of days of fun coming up. We will figure out what we got on the docket before we get out of here this weekend. But nice Friday show planned for you today. The Beltway Blitz will star John Walton on the Caps, who dropped a critical game last night and now find themselves on the verge of elimination in their playoff push. That's coming up at 4. That's when we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby. It's a pretty day in town. What's up, Danny?
What do you say, bud? Let me, before we get underway fully and fast and furiously, like the franchise of movies that you like a lot, let me offer a couple snaps and a tip of the old ball cap to you, to Brent Johnson and Carl Olsner. The old cast last night, all the Rouye boys at one time or another, mostly was my oldest son and I, but my youngest wandered in a couple different times, pointed out to us that that is in fact Uncle Jeeps on television.
Bill got to check it out.
He was very into it.
Let's go, Bill.
We liked the old cast. I thought you guys did a really, really good job last night. Really enjoyed it.
Johnny's my guy. He's been my guy for a long time. I've worked with him a lot. I'd never worked with Carl Olsner, and I was super impressed by him.
Yeah.
He was like former player perspective, watching the game, coaching you up in ways that made sense to me.
It is the thing that I want. Yeah. I got more the thing that I want. I know that I'm different than everybody else that watches sports, apparently. But the thing that I'm looking for when I have an alt cast, when I've got something else besides it, is I want conversation about that game. A little bit less like, let's interview someone for an hour and a half or, you know, whatever. But I want to hear, like, so I think it was the one beautiful play by the Sabres player, actually, where he waited, dangled a little bit, moved, you know, slid from right to left across your radio dial, had a shot from the high slot for a goal. When you go, that was actually pretty nasty. That was a really quality goal. It's a bummer it went against the Capitals, but it was legit. And Carl had this, it was just this great hockey conversation where I learned something. You know, Olsner kind of said at the end of the day, maybe this, it was probably Dylan Strome we needed to step up here, given this certain spot. It's the kind of conversation where I'm going, I got smarter. Right. I learned something. I'm also entertained. It to me, it was perfect. I'm going yes to that.
There were several times last night where he would provide a how-to, you know, as a defenseman. On,
uh-huh.
Here's what you got to do. Or on this penalty kill, you're looking for bouncing puck or you're looking for back of a jersey, full number, and then you commit and you go get him, kind of thing. Little things like that where throughout the night you go, okay, that's really insightful. I would not have thought that. Or on the Capitals' first goal, you know, I'm looking at the pass from Max Pacioretty or the finish by Connor McMichael, who came off the bench and crashed the net, and he's pointing out the legal.
Pass.
Well, but the legal interference from TJ Oshie to kind of allow the whole play, because he lifts the stick and takes the defenseman out of it and slows him down by hitting the brakes, and now McMichael's all alone. Just little things like that and the nuances that you're going to see from a player perspective. I thought the jeans ended up working out well.
I told you it was going to play. Right?
I was nervous. I wanted to go dress pants. Danny talked me into jeans, and I got some compliments on the jean sports jacket look.
Come on, dude.
So I feel good about that.
You just all that happens, I put some enough deposits in the bank where you start to trust your boy a little bit.
That was a win for you.
I thought so.
That was a nice.
I thought so.
You went to the bank. You drove around in the drive-thru. You had to wait a little while. There were two cars in front of you.
Right.
Then that little tube came down.
Yep.
You put a check right into it.
Right into
a signed check.
Mm-hmm. For deposit only.
This is very dated because most people are now doing this on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
But you shot the thing back up. That's a deposit in the bank.
That's a deposit.
So next time you give me... The problem is your style and my style are very, very different. You're looking for colors. You're looking for loud outfits.
Not always.
But not always.
I'm not Bill Cutting from... why am I blanking on the name of the movie that I love with Leo DiCaprio? Gangs of New York.
Okay.
I ruined my reference there by not being able to pull the movie. I'm not at a Kentucky Derby party every Saturday.
Speaking of outfits, did you see what Joe B was rocking last night?
I didn't know. I was watching you guys the whole time.
Oh man, Joe B does it better than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's the greatest dressed person I know.
He pulls off some of the looks that in a million years I just couldn't do it. Let me see if I can find this picture from last night.
From last night.
Pattern on tie. Big colors. I actually got to text him. I forgot to do it last night. I just want to know, how'd you come up with that?
How do you do it? Yeah, I mean, you make it sound like I'm Don Cherry over here doing a hockey reference. I mean, it's not that, right?
I think a little bit of you wants to be Don Cherry.
No.
Is that wrong?
No, it's completely wrong.
Guy, there was a week. It might have been last week, actually. You wore a different color pants every day. You wore green, then you wore pink.
You know what happened. Yeah.
You kept claiming, like, I don't have any pants. I think you just wanted to flex your muscles.
That's
a little
wrong.
Bit.
Here's what happened. All right. I have three pairs of jeans currently in my rotation that I like very much. Pair number one, big hole in the butt. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it's not one of those subtle holes. It's only visible when you sit down. No. It's all the time. It's a big old tear. Screwed, right? Pwned. Can't get them fixed, right? Pair number two, and then pair number three. Still fine with two pairs of jeans. It was jeans weather. Pair number two, I wore a bunch. It was time to wash them. You could a little bit of Grand Funk Railroad in there. Pair number three, the rain. Walking my kid to school, just pummeled by the rain, soaking wet, not drying, out of the rotation. Mm. Now I got no jeans. Now I'm jeansless. More jeans are on the way. I'm going to get myself some more jeans. And these others are going to go through the wash.
You don't need more jeans. Just wash your jeans.
What?
Three pairs of jeans feels like a lot. What's the normal number?
I think three is a reasonable pair for a dude to have.
I think two is the necessary maximum number.
What's that, your normal necessary maximum? Just when you have a heavy jeans week,
at any point in my life, I don't think,
okay,
had a three-jean rotation.
You've had a three-jean rotation.
I'm not. I'm telling you.
You had like a sister jean, another couple of jeans.
Jean Medina.
You had a Jean Medines.
Washington Commanders.
Let's try to get another jean.
Jean Steratore. The official and the national.
That's a great gene.
I'm pummeling you in the gene game right now.
I'm getting destroyed in jeans.
I'm looking for my bell.
Where's your bell?
Gosh, who takes my bell all the time?
Dude, your Derek moves
I don't ask
always.
For a whole lot here. Just keep my J where it's at. That's it. Gene Steratore? It's your turn.
Great Gene Steratore.
You got two.
No, I'm out.
To get even.
No, I'm out. Oh, it's 2-1. You're winning.
Mean Gene Okerlund?
Yep. This is bad.
Eugene Kingsale went by
no,
Gene.
No, stop it.
Yeah, Eugene Kingsale.
Can't just go Eugene.
Okay, I'll take that one.
Gene Levy. Is that a guy?
I don't know Gene Levy.
Well,
you just
American...
Eugene Levy. You just
it's
yelled
Eugene
at me
or is it Gene Levy?
No, it's Eugene.
It's Eugene. Then I'm out. I can't do it.
This is what Danny just did. You can't take Eugene Kingsale. How about Eugene Levy?
I couldn't remember if it was Gene Levy or Eugene Levy. I guess it's Eugene.
Eugene Levy, by the way, one of my sneaky funniest people on the planet.
Oh, it's hilarious. Eugene is a tough name, though, isn't it?
It's not a name for the 2020s, I would say. But you're not going to find a young Eugene. I don't think there's like a kid in a first grade class that's rocking around. Cool. Like,
walk around, everyone say their names. Eugene.
If you're Eugene, you're a grandpa. Although I did see something funny the other day, probably while scrolling the internet, because that's how I see funny things, where someone said, like, in 60 years, there's going to be a bunch of, like, Grandpa Caden and just all these wacky names.
That's all I can think about.
Is they're going to be the grandpa names. So right now it's like Eugene is married to Doris and like Betsy is your grandma and your grandpa.
Their friends
like,
Cyrus and Audrey, the couple. You know?
Like here's a good one. My dad's name is Dennis.
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw a kid named Dennis?
It has been a minute.
It might be time to go back to the well. Dennis is a good name.
Dennis is a very strong name.
Go by Denny. Denny Avdia. I wonder because he's a D-E-N-I. No chance his name's Dennis.
Mm-mm. I mean, you got to go back to the Rodman times, you know what I mean? Like, or Denny McClain. You can do a little Denny. But, like, I've said this a million times to you. There's a 10 to 15 year period where it was weird if the kid wasn't named some derivation of Caden.
Yeah.
Like there's a K-A-Y, there's a C-A-I-G-H, there's a C-A ampersand, like Caden. Just like a thing that was like, not, it's like, wasn't really a name, and now we're just like, now it's a name.
I just got a tweet from someone who says they have a 7 pair of gene rotation. That's outrageous.
It's not.
Am I in the minority?
Yes.
Is this what we're learning?
Yes.
Is this like when you find out you've been taking showers wrong your whole life or something?
No, this is.
It's not something that you discuss or normally it comes up. 2 genes at a time. That's all I'll ever have.
Well, but again, respectfully, it's going to sound like I'm joking. I'm not. But remember who we're dealing with. You've said this on record. If it was up to you, one shirt says Monday, one shirt says Tuesday, so one shirt says Wednesday.
And that is my dream. And yeah. There will be a time in my life where I pull that off. 7 t-shirts. Maybe I even go to 1 pair of jeans.
Yeah.
1 pair of khaki shorts. And just, you can label them. You could write in Sharpie. Literally on the pants if you want. Monday. And I'll just know which
one. These are my Monday pants.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wouldn't shock me that you're being the minority of only a couple of genes.
I think this is one of those things people lie about. That's how I'm going to go at this.
7's more than I've got that I'm comfortable like, with.
If you were to be asked, when's the last time you washed your sheets? Or how often do you wash your pillowcase?
Mm-hmm.
People are going to lie about that.
Okay.
If you're married, or if you have, you know, if you're one of these people that's very, very cleanly or obsessed and all these things about, yeah, maybe you have a routine where every couple of weeks you do it. The majority of dudes listening to us right now, If you're single and pretty young, there is no chance you're washing your sheets and your pillowcases and stuff every few weeks. No chance. It's just not a thing.
Correct.
Everyone pretends like they do.
I was stunned to find out our frequency in the Rouillet house. I couldn't believe it. I went the entire time I lived places. You know what I mean? Like if I this is my dorm for a year or this is my...
What's the longest you went?
Ever? Like, that's what I'm saying, ever. We're like, these sheets were not washed.
Yeah. How long was I at that apartment?
Yeah. When I met my wife, I lived there from like middle of 04 through like the middle of 06. I had 2 pairs of sheets, 2 pairs, 2 sets of pillowcases. I just stopped using one halfway through.
All right, let's go to the young, single-ish people that work on this radio program. We'll start with Darius. Darius, the last time you washed your sheets and pillowcases.
So my pillowcases, I actually just did this past weekend. It had probably been like a month and a half or so since I had last washed my pillowcases.
I feel like that's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah. I would say I get my pillowcases in there once every 2 months.
I mean, again,
or so.
I'm not exaggerating. And people can call me gross or whatever they want to do. Fine. I've never washed pillowcases in my life.
Do you drool at all in your sleep?
No.
See, I do. I'll get that like Homer Simpson mouth agape. So I kind of have to do it more often.
Yeah. It's possible that I'm just not thinking about it. And when I was doing my laundry, I would take my pillowcase off and throw it in the wash. But it's not like, it's been 6 weeks. Let's do the pillows. Nope. Not a thing.
Now, sheets, on the other hand, sheets are out of... Ooh.
Your Wawa's?
Ben, when's the last time you washed your
bed? I want to say the last time I did it maybe was like 2 months ago. And before that, God knows.
Dude, 2 months, 2 months ago washing your Larry sheets is not that bad.
You sleep on Ben Sheets and how dominant he was.
For Team USA, then Milwaukee for like 3 seasons?
Look up his numbers, dude. He had like a 2 or 3 year run where he maybe was the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Ryan, last time you washed your sheets and your pillowcases?
So weirdly, I actually do this once like every few weeks. But it's not just because I just do it just to like, I got to feel cleaner. It's usually because I like spill coffee in there or something because I kind of eat in my bed a lot. So it kind of gets a little bit of a musty smell, you could say, after some coffee and different food spilling on there. So
you eat and drink in your bed?
I do.
You got to stop doing that.
Every morning, cup of coffee in my bed.
You got to stop doing that.
I've never done that. I mean, first, I've never drinking coffee, but I will have water next to my bed. Like, I'm the guy that'll have 3 or 4 cups next to his nightstand and have to take them down. I probably won't drink it, but I'll bring it up just about every single night. But I don't think I've ever eaten anything in my bed.
Every single morning, 7 days a week, I have a cup of coffee in my nightstand, set it right there. I'll prop my head up on a pillow, and I'll drink the coffee. Sometimes I'll spill on the sheets, and then that's when I'll throw them in the washer, put them in the dryer when I get back.
Didn't you allude to food in bed as well?
Food in bed as well, at night. Yes.
Oh, dude,
whole
you
popcorn.
Can't do it. You can't
popcorn.
Do it.
No.
You got to stop doing it. I mean
so
that.
Do you have a chair in your room or somewhere that you could sit and watch TV?
Yeah.
That's important. Because there was one time when I had a place where I didn't have anywhere to sit, like a chair or a computer chair or something. So when I was in my room watching a game, I was in my bed. And now you get into some bad habits that way. Do you have a way to sit and just enjoy a game without being in your bed?
I mean, yes, we have a living room and stuff.
No, but in your bedroom.
I have an office chair and I have a desk, but like late at night when I'm just eating popcorn, I'm going to be sitting on that bed. I usually, and if it falls in the bed, I'll eat the crumbs. Then the next morning, I'll clean them out.
There's like a joke where you say you won't kick someone out of bed for eating crackers, right? It's because like if you're eating this crunchy food, like popcorn,
crumbs
you're just
going to
find
bed.
Kernels and crumbs and you're going to feel it. You're going to like roll over and it's going to be on your, you know, your rib cage, your back. Oh, that's a piece of popcorn. What are you doing, my guy?
And if I feel it, then I'll eat it.
You know what happened today was Truman, my little guy, came up, and I was still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
He was downstairs doing his thing with my wife, whatever. And he came up, and he's like, Dad, I need your help. And he's crawled into my bed, and I'm like, what? And he's like, he shows me his hand. He's got two peanuts.
Yep.
Just two peanuts.
Okay.
He's like, can you open these for me? And I was like, right here? He's like, yeah. And I was like, no. We're not doing this in Dad's bed. And he like put his head down. He was like super sad. And I'm like, here, come over here. So I like lean over the nightstand and I open the peanuts and then I have to take them to the trash. But he wants me, is there anything worse than trying to crack open some peanuts to eat in your bed?
Could you tear open this like sleeve of Ritz crackers or something like that? But yeah, that's up there. That's as bad as it could be. We got to get food away from the bed. You just have to.
Let's go to Josh, who's in Silver Spring on G&D. What's up, Josh?
Is this Josh in Calvert County?
Sure.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Is that near Silver Spring?
Josh is a key identifier there.
Josh in Maryland. Yeah. How about that?
Let's let Josh do the heavy lifting and keep it moving. What do you got, sir?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, I love you guys. We're all buddies and friends before I start this comment, right?
Uh-oh.
Here
it comes. There's a big butt.
This is a Vita Guerra-sized butt. What do we got here?
Yeah, you're vile. I mean, you're disgusting. if you're going multiple weeks without washing your sheets or your pillowcases, you're gross. Like, I'm a guy just like you guys. Like, we're hairy, we're sweaty, we stink. I'm not even going to talk about, like, the stuff that we do when we're asleep and our body just kind of, like, just goes off. So, yeah, wash your stuff, pillowcases, sheets.
Well, here's
covers,
the good news.
Quilts.
I'm
every
a married
week,
man now, and my wife is a very cleanly person.
Yeah, the frequency goes way up.
And my wife
thank you,
washes
Josh.
Our sheets, and that's the best feeling in the world. Like, new socks is pretty good. But when you get into bed, generally, like, every Sunday night, because every week, maybe 2 weeks, she does the whole bed,
mm-hmm.
which, thank you, by the way, if she's out there.
Yep.
Very appreciated. But, yeah, it's not a concern. It's not a worry anymore. Now, it's not like we've dictated the jobs where it's her job, but she does it. I don't typically do it.
Yeah, like my wife ran an experiment where it's like, let's see how long it would go. Oh, it'd go a long time.
Yeah.
I'd be just fine.
But I am a huge shower guy. Like, I shower twice a day,
mm-hmm.
which I think is weird.
You're a morning shower and then, like, the night to get ready to...
Typically, yeah.
Yeah.
And there are days that drive my wife crazy where I might shower three times. Like, I have to shower to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do early morning radio on Sundays. I generally wake up, take a quick shower. Not like, hey, we are... getting after it.
Mm-hmm.
This is to make sure I'm the best smelling, cleanest person ever. But get under the water, basically.
Get your wake up.
Go down, do my show, come back up. Now I'm getting super clean, legit shower. Then I'm going to church. And then by the end of the day, Sunday, we're out and about. We're doing things. We're at a game, whatever. Probably showering again. So on average, I would say like 1.8 showers per day because there's a lot of threes in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big shower guy. I feel good about that. I think that helps keep the bed a little cleaner.
It offsets a little bit. Yeah, I try never to go to bed dirty. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just for comfort's sake. So if I've worked out that day or, you know, if I haven't showered within the last, like, 6-7 hours of getting into bed, I got to do that before bed. Does that make sense?
Are you a shower every day guy, I would hope?
Yeah.
Okay. Mornings or nights?
Usually post-working out.
Okay.
In some way. Like, if there's some of that. Like, so even every morning, pretty much for school, I walk my kids to school. That's a mile and change. So, like, I get a little schwitz going. You know what I mean? A little action. So, there's usually some kind of shower that's going to take place either before work or in the evening.
Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
Guys, I love this. This is way better than Masters Talk. So, I could do this all day.
Oh, don't worry. Masters Talk's coming up next.
That could hum for 20 minutes and be better. Oh. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. I'm gonna tell Google Home to turn it off at that point.
Well, don't worry. You might be fine.
All right, so listen. You guys are both domesticated, so you've been forced to change your sheet washing policy.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have one before.
So one no of policy. My go-to moves is once I became older and earned more money, I just bought more sheets. So I rip the sheets off and then throw them in a corner until they pile up and get on my nerves, and then I finally wash those. But those have been sitting around for a good, couple months. So I do once a quarter, but on the daily, because I got these wood floors, and the problem with the wood floors is there's always just specks of dirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
What I'll do is I got the leaf blower. I'll whip out the leaf blower and just freshen up the bed by, using the leaf blower right on the bed. And
inside?
I love it too, because it
scares the cat. I don't believe
it.
You're
oh,
doing
yeah.
a bit. He's doing a bit.
No, I'm not doing a bit. I'm not doing a
There's
bit.
There's zero
awesome.
Chance you have had a leaf blower on in your bedroom to blow things off of your sheet.
I do it every day, and it makes it great. It feels wonderful
every
when
day.
I get back into bed, and it's crumb-free, dirt-free, speck-free. It's beautiful.
Sometimes I don't know if he's doing a bit or not.
Bit.
That one he telegraphed.
Bit alarm went off.
He stared down his wide receiver. Just the idea. I want a video, by the way, even if it'll be the first time you ever do it, of you plugging in your leaf blower in your bedroom and then just blowing a bunch of air at 30 miles an hour across your bed. I think that'd be fun.
You don't do that.
I got a guy named Mike on mm-hmm. X who just said, change your sheets twice a week. You're lying.
That's crazy.
You're doing a tough guy bit. I'm the cleanest. I do a great job with my hygiene and my sheets. Nobody is washing their whole bed set up twice a week.
Yeah, now here's the real answer. I'm at Funny Dandy Grant at Greenwich Paulson. Sheets and pillowcase pre-marriage every 2 to 3 months.
Yes.
Reasonable. I mean, that's more than me, but that's reasonable. After marriage.
That's more than me. It's
yeah,
tough.
Every 2 weeks, that's only because my wife does it.
That guy. So
yes.
That's my answer. What did that guy say?
Right, that's it. That's his answer.
What did he say? Because that's my life.
That's his answer, too.
Oh, okay.
That's his answer, too. Mm-hmm. Every 2 to 3 months, I'd be proud of that. 6 times a year, you're changing your sheets and washing them and then putting them back on, that fitted sheet fight where you got to spread it out and go to one corner, go to the other corner, back to the same corner, go to the third corner, go to the fourth corner,
got
back to the first corner, you got to turn it around a little bit. No.
Ben Standick of The Athletic, who covers the Commanders, did a great story with all the insight he's gleaned from different front office people, agents, about how the draft's going to go down, so we'll get into that at 3 o'clock. Next, though, there's a reporter who says that teams don't know yet who they're going to take. Do we believe that? You're listening to G&D. I do want to get into the Caps' huge loss last night and how we should be feeling about their late season collapse here with 6 L's in their last 7 games. Actually, I guess it's now 7 out of 8 after last night. So we'll do that a little bit later on. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Here's a tweet from Diana Rossini, who's the insider for the NFL for The Athletic. She said, I just had a really good conversation with the GM who strongly reminded me about 20 times that most teams are still undecided. And this is in all caps, no team is leaking to anyone who they are picking. Most organizations aren't even settled on who they're taking. It's still early. We're 13 days away from the NFL draft, which is, 2 weeks away. And to her point, that doesn't sound like a long time away in life, but from a draft prep standpoint, that's months and months in NFL time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a two-part conversation I want to have with you, Danny. The first of those, we should drill down on this, and generally speaking, do we agree with what she's saying and what this executive is suggesting? And then the second part will be more specific to the Commanders and whether they've made up their mind yet, because they already know who's going number one very likely.
Uh-huh.
They're number two. There's nothing else to figure out. Like, it's pretty easy to not to know who you're going to take when you pick ninth, because you have no idea who's going to be
very
available.
Very dependent, yeah.
And 8 things have to happen in front of you that are unpredictable. And just do that math. There's probably a wizard somewhere who got A's in calculus in sixth grade or whatever, who could tell you what the percentage chance is that you could properly predict the first 8 picks, know who's on the board at 9, and know who you're going to take. But do you agree with the general premise that as we're 2 weeks out, that number one, teams are still undecided and don't know who they're taking yet, and number two, there's not a single team or a single executive who's leaking information on who they like and who they're taking?
So the leaking part I don't agree with, right? The leaking part is routine, and there's a million reasons and one why that could be. It could be trial balloon for the fan base and the local news folks. It could be misdirection for a team behind you that might have to, one of your rivals that has to spend to trade up. I mean, there's a trillion to one reasons for motivation there.
Huge qualifier.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not leaking the correct information. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not telling you what is gospel, what they'd like to do, but I think they're talking.
Right. So let's say for the sake of argument, I'm the Giants now. I'm at six. I could tell everybody whether they, if it's true or not, but just bear with me. I could tell everybody that I like J.J. McCarthy. And let's say that I really do. Maybe the reason is I want to see if that means, well, okay, well, the team that I'm talking to maybe move up to three or four, I'm talking to Arizona. Well, we got a deal from somebody that's going to be two first-rounders this year, a first-rounder next year, and just see what the price is. There's a reason you could do that. I mean, there's so many reasons why you might be talking to somebody. And it seems like Washington's not doing any just yet, because they don't have any reason to, probably. There's nothing they need to do. No bed they need to make to let everyone down easy to say, it's not the guy you think it is. It's going to be this. We might see a week closer where we start hearing some buzz about J.J. McCarthy or seeing some buzz about Drake May, because it's to basically set the table for a draft pick that maybe folks, quote unquote, don't expect.
I've also long thought, known, speculated that a lot of what you're hearing from reporters is not from the team they're talking about, but other teams, which you kind of referenced.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I mean by that. The Patriots executives in this hypothetical are telling Adam Schefter, yeah, we hear that Washington really likes Jaden Daniels, and we're preparing for them to take Jaden Daniels. And then Schefter says, I think the Commanders like Jaden Daniels. Now, similarly to what we were just talking about, that can go one of two ways. Sometimes they could be telling the truth and know exactly who they think Washington likes and pass that along to a reporter they trust. But it could also be that they are trying to game the system a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in that situation, maybe that's not the case. But let's say at pick five or six where there could be a trade back. You use the Giants as an example. Maybe the Giants are floating this idea that the Chargers at five don't want to trade back. Or something,
mm-hmm.
because it would behoove them if they didn't, or they think if they say that and they put that out there, and now Ian Rappaport goes on NFL Network and says the Chargers are open to trading back because the Giants put out that we're hearing the Chargers really want to trade back. You know, they've been making phone calls. Maybe they haven't been, but now a GM calls them and they start talking, and maybe they're more likely to make a move that helps you because a team comes up and gets the quarterback if you want Roma Dunze or whatever. I just think there's a lot of ways that the teams can manipulate, is the word I would use, what's happening and certainly what's being talked about at the top of the draft.
You order to attempt to extract more resources, right? I mean, again, if you're pick two and you're going to stay at pick two and take somebody, it's kind of moot and you don't really need to do it. But if you are dependent in one of those spots, as you're alluding to, where there are a ton of variables, if three receivers go in the top 10, that's going to influence what's going to happen with Minnesota, Denver, and the Raiders. I mean, there's so many permutations there. But the other part, I want to go to the first part first, right? Or the first part second here, that Diana says, where teams have no idea yet, or that's kind of the implication. That's something that you and I disagreed about. I think there's a natural disaster coming the day of the draft, we have to move it up to tomorrow. Teams could do it.
Oh, of
right?
course.
And that's kind of my point. I think everybody's pretty much got it. Is it written in Sharpie yet? No, of course not.
You
there's
got
still
a board.
Some visits.
You got a
yeah.
plan.
And that's kind of, and so it all depends on how you view the glass, half empty, half full. Whatever, but to me, it's basically like, I think everybody has an idea right now. Smart, open, good organizations can be talking out of that. Like, let's say, God forbid, I'm making this up, this is not a thing, but let's say on Sunday, you find out something about one of the guys that was one, two, or three on your board, where there's this secret arrest that happened or some horrible behavior that's been covered up over the handful of years. You can move them down your board.
There's a video where they're wearing a bong mask.
For example,
it might not matter anymore, I guess, in this day and age as much, but something like that comes out day of the draft.
Something like that. You could certainly be flexible, right? Or if something so terrible happens at one of your visits that you've got planned, where you're like, oh my God, this is a terrible dude. And like the guy's dad was here ordering us all around and he ordered like $500 worth of food for the next 3 days while he's staying at a hotel. Terrible. We don't want that kind of influence. I'm sure you can make an adjustment. But I think teams have, I think everybody that's a decision maker has watched what they needed to watch, done the investigations, talked to who they needed to talk to, and they can make a choice.
All right, next, do the Commanders know who they're going to take right now? We'll answer that question. We want to hear from you guys. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. 800-636-1067. 13 days from the first round. Do you think the Commanders know right now who they're taking at number two? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D on the Fan, Ben Standing, top of the hour on his piece on what's going to happen in the draft. And at 4 o'clock, we'll give away those VIP tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby and spin you around town with the Beltway Blitz, getting you ready for a series out west for the Nationals, last trip to Oakland. Have you ever been to the Coliseum?
No.
It is as much a dump as people say it is. That is a venue I'll very happily never go back to, probably. I was there for football when the then Redskins played the Raiders in Griffin's rookie year, I think. Might have been 13, I don't know. But it's still at the baseball field and the infield there because
just
it was
brutal,
an early season game. It was just a bad place. It's not good. I do feel so bad for Oakland fans who have had to suck it up and go there for years, and now they're losing the team. Literally, next season, because before they eventually go to Vegas, they're just going to go play in Sacramento because A's fans and the owner are in such odds at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where the A's owner gets to go, yeah, nobody comes to games. Do you have any idea why? You probably do. You know exactly what you did there.
Well, when they do their like show of fandom, when they throw these parties or when they boycott or they all meet in the parking lot and don't go in, you can tell they still have fans.
Oh, of course they do.
There are people that still care. They're just doing the, we hate Dan Snyder, we don't go, we're not giving him any money.
100%. And it's, you know, it is a terrible situation because there's some great history there. I know everybody thinks when they think baseball history, it's like the league starts and stops with the Yankees. There have been some outstanding generations of A's teams, right? You think of the group in the 70s, the Catfish Hunter type group, Bash Brothers in the 80s, Moneyball in the early 2000s. I know there's not many championships to show for it in that most recent iteration, but they changed baseball. You know, like that fun group, everyone from older David Justice and Eric Chavez and Tim Hudson and, you know, Barry Zito and Mark Mulder. These are some great iconic teams that have a really rich history, and that's being washed away and wiped away because an owner's kind of a jerk.
Caps, Nats, Commanders on the Blitz, a little over an hour away today, right here on the Fan. Speaking of the Commanders, do they know who they're going to pick right now? That is the question. At 800-636-1067, Diana Rossini of The Athletic saying today that she was told by an executive, most teams don't know what they're doing yet. And on top of that, that none of the people that are actually making the pick are giving any information to the media right now, which we just dove into. But Danny, why don't we start with, do you think the Commanders know who they're picking this moment?
I do. I thought that for a while. I think 99% of the work has been done, and the last stuff that is what we get to see. This meeting, this one dinner at a steakhouse or whatever restaurant they decide, you know, fancy and not too far from the facility in Ashburn. I'm sure there's something that could change their mind, some 11th hour information, but to me, the work started months and months and months ago, and all the reports have been turned in for some time. All the tape has been grinded through and graded, and scouts have scouted, and all that stuff has been handed in, and they've got a great idea. Now, again, something could change, so I guess maybe if you want to call me on a technicality, that could be that. But to me, I think if the draft was tonight, they could do it. If the draft was in 2 days, they could do it. I think they are pretty much ready with, again, that door cracked if something changes.
I'm going to say they don't know, with the caveat that I think the way they're leaning now is how they're actually going to end up. But they still have the most important part of the process this coming week. The in-person, multi-day, get to know, get on the whiteboard, lengthy discourse with each of the three guys that have a chance to be the number two pick, if you count J.J. McCarthy. And I necessarily don't. So really the two guys after he comes in that come in after that, Daniels and May. I don't think that they have made up their mind. It would be foolish to have done that before you get to work those guys out. And frankly, do whatever you want with them when they're in your building. Grill them. You got a half hour, I think it is, with them at the combine. That's good. That's helpful. I think that's important. You really get to the bottom of what a guy's all about and how much they know and don't. They can cram for that exam. I could fool anybody if I got to sit there for 30 minutes and, you know, had a bunch of the answers to the questions of what they might be asking before I sat down. Couple of days, it's a lot harder to trick somebody. So I think they have a preference. I think they have what is right now a penciled in plan, and it may end up going that way. But to me, they do not quite right now know who they're going to take, and they won't definitively until after the meetings next week. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kevin?
Howdy, boys. Happy Friday, and great job last night on the Altcast, Grant.
Oh, appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, can I just – I know you've moved on, but I have something funny real quick on the Sheets. Can I just say something real fast on that?
Yeah.
So my beautiful bride, a 35-year registered nurse veteran, okay, I'm spoiled rotten. And every Sunday night, new sheets are ironed, and when we get into bed, it's warm. I mean,
that's nice.
The iron sheet. Yeah. Wow.
Iron sheet is next level.
See, because I need those sheets cold generally because I run so hot.
Yeah, I'm not a warm sheet guy, but that is a touch of love.
If you're into it, you're all that's great.
In the wintertime, let me tell you. And just one other thing on this. Underrated John Hughes film, She's Having a Baby. There's a funny line in it where I think the Elizabeth McGovern character tells Kevin Bacon, "We're going to have to burn the sheets," because some floozy came and stayed with them who was Alec Baldwin's girlfriend. Well, anyway, that's what my wife says. You know, we have to burn the sheets. So she's a germaphobe, but she's a great nurse, and God, I'm lucky. All right.
Be quick, because we're up against the end of the hour here. So quickly, do you think they
know
what they're going to do?
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. They haven't made a final decision, and I think they're so process-oriented, they're going to go all the way to the end. But I have one question, and maybe you can come back to it. Do you think if they're tied and if the Patriots really want someone, there could be a 2-for-3 trade with something else coming to Washington? Just want to know about that. That seems to be the only thing that is fascinating to me is whether or not there's even a trade there between Commanders and the Patriots.
So the Patriots, I think, would have to figure out that the guy they want is who Washington's taking. And on top of that, the Patriots have to have their number two quarterback way ahead
distantly
of their number three.
Yep.
Like, not just, oh, we like him a lot more. We're talking about one of these guys is a franchise QB who changes our fortunes for years to come. The other is going to be a bust, in our opinion.
Yeah.
If they view it that way, and they get the intel that Washington's taking their guy at number two, so I would imagine in this case it would probably have to be that they love Daniels, then maybe they'd be willing to go up to two. The other part of this, Danny, is Washington would have to not care about the difference between two and three. On their board, Daniels, May, McCarthy, whoever two and three are, have to be basically identical or side by side. Or maybe you know who New England's taking based on your due diligence, and it's different than the guy you prefer anyway. I think there's a lot of ifs. That's a really, I like to say, the small runway to land that plane on. So I would say very unlikely, but there's certainly a path to that.
Yeah, if the fear of God is in them like Chicago had back when they drafted Mitch Trubisky, which sounds so funny to say now, they were at three, and they're going, we might not get him. We might not get him. We got to move up to two. Whoever that is, and then if you're a two and you don't care, because San Francisco took Solomon Thomas. Nothing to do with quarterback, you know?
I would say there's a 10% chance of that.
I would have said less, but it's on the board. There's a percentage, but I think New England's going to be content with whoever's at three. But what do I know?
Stanek's been talking to agents, front office execs, scouts all over the country to get a feel for the top of the board and arrows going up and down on all these prospects. We'll talk to him next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.